it affected my life immediately, right? Just even that one point.
Welcome to Proofread, a podcast to help you read more of what you love and less of what you don't.
Hello, I'm Casey. Welcome to Proofread. I'm a writing professor who loves to read. I've got four kids, and I'm on my way to being an empty nester, so I've got plenty of time to read.
I'm Tyler. I'm an English professor. I also like to read, but my kids are on the other side, so they're still kind of very well in the nest, very young in the nest, and so now I just don't have nearly as much time to read for fun as much as I would like. And so part of this podcast is for us to talk about, think through, have books to read, and then to give you all suggestions on what you should spend your time on.
So today we are doing a book by Cal Newport. It's called...
Which sounds like a fake name, let's be real.
It sounds fake. I love it. It's catchy.
It's catchy.
Slow Productivity, The Lost Art of Accomplishment Without Burnout. So this guy wrote this in 2024. The main idea of this book is that it's geared towards knowledge workers. And that they should have quality work and slow down a little bit.
Knowledge workers being white collar, is that what we think?
I think that's pretty much what he means.
So yeah. People that are paid to move ideas around.
Exactly.
Something like that.
Exactly.
Creative work, management stuff.
So that's what it's geared to. I love the main idea about this, and I have embraced many of these things in my life already.
Yeah.
The reason why I like this idea of wide margins and tight borders is so that if anything does happen, you know, like maybe you get sick kids, you know, it's not the end of the world because I was just going to lay around all day anyway. No, just kidding. But this has been a really important principle to me also in terms of service because like when my husband was a leader in our church organization, things would come up that you couldn't plan for, and it kind of like fell to him. It was a lot easier to absorb those things and to help and to, you know, visit people or whatever it might have been. So I am able to deal with serving others and harder things when I'm doing less.
Yeah, I think that's really nice because one of the things that this book kind of does or the work of a book like this is doing is, like I said, he says the idea is to make work part of a life well lived, not an obstacle to it, right? So like enjoy your work, right? But it's also if you can get a hold on your work, right? And if you can be productive and like not drain and kind of like burn out on work, then you get to live a more meaningful life. And I think that's something that I've seen with my own family and kids is when I can kind of get a hold on that and set up good boundaries and kind of be productive in the times that I've – whatever structure I've followed – that it allows me to be more free at home. And I'm not feeling like I need to answer emails or things, which sometimes you do. Like, things happen. But
exactly. You're trying to show that I'm a good worker, so I'm not going to respond to this email at night.
I responded within 45 minutes, you know.
But instead, you can be putting that energy into your kids and family and being present. I mean, I think what he's saying about work applies to other things in your life, too.
Yeah.
Where you, like, obsess with quality.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be a quality father, too. I'm not going to be answering emails while I'm reading to my kids.
Yeah, and I like that he also points in there, there's a small caveat that he makes. I don't know if he makes a big enough one, but he says like the danger of one of his principles is obsess over quality. Mm-hmm. And then he says, you know, he got one of his female colleagues wrote back and said, hey, I obsess over quality too much.
Yeah,
I just submitted this book manuscript that I could have done a lot earlier, but I just thought every single part needed to be right. And he tries to share some stories to talk about, like, we're not talking about perfection here.
Right.
And I think this is a really nice balance to think about what a focus on quality can look like and what an outsized focus on perfectionism can look like.
So let's do our famous reader skip.
If we're famous for anything, it's for this.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Skip. Okay.
Hey, I suggest that we skip this book for one reason, and it has the word orthogonal in it. And I just feel like any book that has the word orthogonal, let alone in the very end, right, the last 100 words, the word orthogonal shows up.
What is orthogonal?
I had to Google it.
Okay, so tell me.
I had to Google it.
Teach me.
It means like at a right angle, jutting out at a right angle or something.
Hmm.
But then I was like, wait, orthodontist? Because that means like straight. So it's like a straight right angle or 90 degrees, you know?
Okay.
It also could mean like independent statistically. I don't
know. So anyway, you see why you should skip this book because I think it was – so I love the idea of this book. But I just don't think you have to have a whole book about it. It's a lot of he did write an article originally about this, which is probably great. I would recommend that. It's a lot of quoting other books that he's read.
It's a telltale sign, though, when he's kind of like, I wrote an article about this, and then it's like three pages that tell about what the article was, and it's like, sounds like this is the article.
Exactly. Yeah. He talks a lot about what he's going to do in the book, mm-hmm. and then what he did in the book, yeah. which, you know, it's great. It's interesting. Good for him for
making
a book.
Set piece.
But we are here to just tell you that he has three main ideas. Okay.
Slow productivity, he calls a philosophy for organizing knowledge work efforts in a sustainable and meaningful manner based on the following three principles. One, do fewer things. Two, work at a natural pace. Three, obsess over quality.
Okay. So that's really all you need to know. But it's just this idea of, you know, having quality, having work rituals that help you get in the mood. And the thing that I think is important to remember, this I think is the most important point, is to avoid performative busyness.
Yeah.
Because that is dumb. And that is what we fill a lot of our day with. You know, oh, let me respond to this email or let me do all these Slack, you know, chats and stuff like that. And people do that because other kind of work is harder to quantify. Like I'm just deep thinking, you know.
Yeah.
But so we do that, and I think we should stop doing that. And if you can, you know, more power to you. Not every job allows for that. It's already not for everyone.
Yeah. This is like a play on the famous Seinfeld moment where George Costanza accidentally parks, like locks his keys in his car, and so his car's at work for like several days, and the boss comes in, and he sees it there in the morning, and he sees it at night, and he's like, man, this guy's working so hard. And he starts to kind of elevate him in the business when really he's terrible at his job.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Just happened to lock his keys in his car.
Exactly.
It's that performative busyness. And rewarding that is, I think, some of the problem, right?
Yeah, yeah, because it is rewarded. And so it's the opposite of grind culture, you know, which I'm really anti-grind culture, but that's mostly because I'm kind of lazy. But it wears people out. You know, it's all in title. Just read the title, read the table of contents. I like the idea of working seasonally, like allow for seasonality. I'm like, that's great. I can do that. Why? Because I'm a professor. I literally have seasons when I don't teach. That's one of the little pieces of advice that I liked. He says to double any of your project timelines, which I'm like, that's a great way to live. Just tell people it's going to take twice as long. That's great. It's great if you can do it. Now, Tyler, what do you think is the best advice in this book?
The best advice, I think, I'm just going to read a passage on page 117. He says, slow productivity emphatically rejects the performative rewards of unwavering urgency. There will always be more work to do. You should give your efforts the breathing room and respect required to make them part of a life well lived, not an obstacle to it. I think that's part of kind of his whole idea here is, how does the work that we do become something that we value and is part of a well-lived life?
Yeah.
And not, I have to do this thing and I have to grind so that I can party on the weekend, right?
So exactly.
Let's talk about the structure of a book like this, because I think what's interesting is here's a guy, you know, and he talks about this in throughout the book, is that he says he wrote his first book when he was in an undergrad.
Oh, yeah.
And it was about like how to succeed at college. So mm-hmm. he's kind of been invested in this kind of field of like kind of the self-help genre. How to work through. Wanted to be a writer. And he figures out this formula, right? This isn't his only bestseller, right?
Yeah.
But this formula is, I've got a couple ideas, and I'm going to say those ideas, and then I'm going to kind of like mine stories,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to like fit my idea into this story as like a demonstration. But it's almost like you're backing your idea into this thing.
Yeah.
So when he's trying to say, you know, the Beatles were doing this in 1967 when they were recording, you know, you're kind of like...
Yeah. I have to say, I loved all the stories. You know, I had some time to kill. I was reading a book, right? Like I said, I've got a lot of time.
Who doesn't
to
love
kill?
A story about Jewel? That can work and not work. It works when you realize, like, oh yeah, I'm similar to Jewel playing at a coffee shop, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
or you make draw connections. But it can also do the opposite when you start to say, like, Jewel's life is nothing like my life.
Exactly.
Right. And so the problem with drawing on all the success moments, right, is that one moment he's like, well, for every John Grisham, there's dozens of other people that have tried this and it hasn't worked out. It's like, dozens, Cal?
Exactly.
I think we're talking more than dozens.
More than dozens. Like, also, go to medical school planning to just become a best-selling author.
Yeah, the Michael Crichton
That's
story.
Not a real repeatable formula.
He calls his work, he says, most of my recent nonfiction books, for example, tend to deploy a style that I informally call smart self-help. which combines conventions from standard advice writing, a genre which I was immersed in as a teenager and young adult, and for which I feel extreme affection, with more sophisticated forms from general nonfiction writing. Most books in these categories tend to fall into one bin or the other. You're either Stephen Covey or Malcolm Gladwell. I like to mix them. And he talks about how, like, watching Reservoir Dogs, a Quentin Tarantino film, helped him realize that he was doing this because he says it I realized that working lower genre tropes when pursuing higher ends, if given the right formal attention, can be a powerful creative exercise.
You know,
and I assume the lower genre is the Stephen Covey.
Like, he's
I'm taking these lower tropes and I'm the Quentin Tarantino of self-help.
Of self-help, yeah. And, you know, now I'm thinking—
With a lot less violence.
With a lot less violence.
Parents, there's no violence.
There's no violence in this book, yeah. Maybe people who want to write a book like this should read this book. It's a pretty good model.
Yeah.
It talks about how you take an idea and just kind of augment it over and over and over again. So
yeah.
To our listeners, you can probably skip this one. just slow down and try to have more intentional life. That's the point of it.
Do fewer things, work at a natural pace, at a natural pace, obsess over quality.
Yeah. And so when I work at a natural pace, it's just like when I get tired, I stop.
Do we all need to slow down? Do some of us need to speed
up?
Maybe
I need to speed up a little because I'm like, slow down, great. Like close the book and take a nap. What shelf would you put this on?
I would put this on something along the lines of like, if I feel overwhelmed and I want a cheerleader there telling me that I feel overwhelmed and that I can do things differently, this is a book you could look at, maybe. I don't have that shelf on my bookshelf, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a long title for my...
Yeah. Did you like this book better than Deep Work?
Well, so yeah.
You read both.
I brought Deep Work in here just because I found this book much more influential for me because it affected my life immediately, right? Just even that one point, right? Here he's like kind of talking about this, but it gets overcomplicated and stuff.
Yeah. What's the one point? Do you remember?
The one point here is that if you can carve out time in your day to focus and really dive into something, you are going to be more productive.
Hmm.
And I think that alone, you don't have to read this book either.
Okay. So I've got something from that one and something from
this
one.
But I think Deep Work is the kind of one of them that put them on the map or so good they can't ignore you, you know, but... for me, I think I would recommend Deep Work if you're just kind of looking for that. How do I get things done or concentrate? Because basically what he says is we're running around like crazy people doing shallow work all day.
Definitely.
With email and with Slack or whatever kind of management softwares you're using or communication software. We're just attending to all these little things because they give us this immediate boost and this immediate relief. But if we actually carve out of our life time to do deep work, then that allows us to say, okay, I'm not doing anything superficial. I'm just going to do this hard thing, and I'm going to do it all at once right now. And the stories he gives in there are a little bit more, I think, relatable because it's like, hey, here's a guy I knew who went through his degree, didn't like his job, and decided he was going to teach himself to program. And he bought a course, did it online for like 8 hours every day, right? And he just like got into the zone, and then he became a really talented programmer because he just – taught himself how to do that deep work. And the premise is that deep work is something we're losing.
Yeah.
You know, as a people.
That idea resonates with me.
The funny thing, though, is that the premise here, it's a little bit contrary. This is what he says. He says, how to become a winner in the new economy, right? Two core abilities in thriving in the new economy. One, the ability to quickly master hard things. Which is deep work, focus, learn something, skill. Two, the ability to produce at an elite level in terms of both quality and speed.
Speed, okay. So, well, you know, he wrote the slow productivity is a little bit of a response to COVID.
Yeah, and quiet quitting.
And quiet quitting.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I've quiet quit. I've mentally resigned from a lot of things. You don't even know.
You don't know how quiet my quitting has been.
Exactly. So I don't dismiss this book completely out of hand. I like the ideas in it. It's for my shelf, it would be a shelf like, would love to just read the article.
Yeah. But it's also a very short read.
It's a short
read. It's 200 pages.
It's a quick read.
Do you have other recommendation? If you're thinking about this, I mean, Ritual was one you mentioned.
Yeah, that one. And he mentions it in the book, too. It's a combination of just a bunch of little short stories about how artists worked.
Yeah.
So that one I think was pretty interesting, too. All right. Well, Cal Newport, you have been proofread.
Proofread.
We're revealing way too much about ourselves. I hope Cal Newport isn't listening.
Proofread is a production of BYU Radio and is produced by Jeff Simpson, with help from Erica Price, Becca Hurley, and Lisa Valentine Clark. Find us on YouTube at Proofread Podcast for video clips and more. And please follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Thanks for spending your time with us today, and happy reading.